This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Rami Makhlouf.
You don't want to overreact. You know, you want to keep perspective.
Nah, screw that. Hit the music, Robbie. Hit the music. Let's go.
Let's go. Fit the man for a gold jacket.
For those who don't like our people, that's tough. We like them.
Live and local on 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
Oh, yeah. And plenty of Bears talk with you this evening. I am with you until 9 o'clock with Sean Sears on the other side of the glass and on the ones and twos live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and we'll get in on some Bears talk right now. And guess what? Phone lines open to you the entire 6 o'clock hour of this fine program this evening. If you want to get in at 312-644-6767, you can give me a call or shoot me a text if you want to talk some Bears with me, Rami Makhlouf, on a Thursday night. Also coming up on the show this evening, we'll hear from Coby White coming up at 6:45. Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network, he'll talk some Cubs with me at 7:20, and we'll get into some NFL and some draft with Eric Edholm of NFL.com coming up at 8 o'clock. But again, phone lines open to you this entire 6 o'clock hour. It's just you and me at 312-644-6767. And do want to talk some Bears out of the gates and ask you a very simple question, although it may be a little bit more complicated than it seems on its surface. Do the Bears need to get a starter with that 10th pick in the draft? 312-644-6767. Because I was checking out The Athletic today, as I do just about every day. It's part of my checklist to keep up with what's going on in the world of sports, and came across this article that was 10 observations from the owners' meetings that just passed by Adam Johns and Kevin Fishbane, two fine NFL beat reporters over there for The Athletic. And I got to number 6 of their observations, and it reads, the Bears don't need a starter at number 10 necessarily, and that's a good thing. And then they follow that up with, in his first draft as GM, Pohl selected a pair of starters in round 2 in nickelback Kyler Gordon and safety Jaquan Brisker. The next year, there was no doubt that Darnell Wright would start at right tackle, and same went with 2024. He says, with the work done on the roster and in free agency, the Bears are in better shape in that they don't have that obvious hole at a position. He goes on to say, right now it'd be strong side linebacker, but you're not gonna take one of those at number 10. So the folks over at The Athletic think the Bears don't need a starter at number 10. Would you agree? 312-644-6767. And all due respect to Johns and Fishbane and the fine work that they do over there at The Athletic, and I mean that. I'm not saying that in a condescending way whatsoever. I strongly disagree. And this kind of goes back to something that I've taken issue with for quite some time now. Going back to, I don't know, at some point during that 10-game losing streak, when I kept hearing people, despite a 10-game losing streak, I kept hearing the refrain of, well, this is a much better roster than what the record might look like. Or this is a better roster than what Ryan Poles took over. And I was just sitting there going, really, is it? I mean, I know like we got excited and maybe we still like a lot of the guys on this roster. But there've got to be some holes and more holes than you could fill through just free agency and trades for a team to lose 10 straight games and go 5-12 over the course of a season. There've got to be bigger problems than just you had a bad head coach and bad offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like the logic of that and how people will just throw that out there flippantly. Like, oh yeah, this is a good roster. Well, this is a much better roster than what Ryan Poles took over. And I hear it from, again, these two guys, Johns and Fishbane, two of the smartest dudes on the beat, and I respect their work and I respect their football and Bears intellect as much as one could. And the same for all the guys that come on here on the score, from the hosts to the football experts, and I hear it up and down. Up and down. Well, this is a good roster. This is a much better roster than what Ryan Poles took over. And I think that's the assumption that people are going forward with, that this was already somehow a good roster that just lost 12 games, 10 of those in a row, and then you went and added in the offseason and added where you needed to add. And I'm happy that they did. I like the moves that they've made this offseason. I don't want to come off as Debbie Downer or Negative Nancy or pick your label you want to throw on it. I like the moves that they made this offseason. But they filled every hole. There's no room for a starter on this roster. Now they do say they don't need a starter necessarily. That's how it's written. They don't need a starter necessarily. And I look at this Bears depth chart, and I see opportunity for some new starters to be added, man. I don't know. Call me crazy. I didn't love what I saw from DeAndre Swift last year. Call me crazy. Olamide Zaccheaus. Am I saying that right? Olamide Zaccheaus? Olamide Zaccheaus. Fine pickup. Fine. And I'm sure he's going to contribute to this football team. And I know technically third wide receiver is not a starter, but I'm just talking about guys who are going to come in and be part of a regular rotation and contribute from day one. That's what I consider a starter. So running back, a third wide receiver, I'm not even sure Cole Kmet is the starter at tight end. And even if he is, nobody used two tight end sets more than Ben Johnson when he was the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. So if you drafted a tight end, you'd be getting essentially a starter. Even if they're not a starter on the depth chart, you'd be getting a starter and somebody's going to come in and play a major role on day one. Then I go to the defense. I like the Dio Odengbo signing. Is he an every down starter? No, if you can upgrade there, you upgrade. Oh, I skipped probably the best opportunity to upgrade on offense, which is left tackle with Braxton Jones. He's fine. He's good for a fifth-round draft pick, but you couldn't upgrade there? You 100% could upgrade there. I'll skip right past linebacker because that was already mentioned in the article. But after Jalen Johnson, are we 100% in on Tyreek Stevenson as the second cornerback? There are so many spots yet to fill. So many chances to upgrade at a starting position, or at the very least, a guy who's going to come in and be part of a platoon or a rotation. DeAndre Swift isn't going to be just vanish and be gone if you drafted an Ashton Jeanty in the first round. He'll be part of the mix, but he'll probably, you know, be down a spot on the depth chart and be sharing the load with an Ashton Jeanty or any running back that they take. I think they need a starter, and I'm putting that in quotations because it might be a running back who shares the load with Ashton Jeanty. It might be a third wide receiver that you get in the second or the third round. It might be a tight end who's going to be out there in a lot of two tight end sets with Cole Kmet. It might be a defensive end who's going to be in the rotation with Adio Odengbo. But like I said, the best opportunity to upgrade and find a true starter is at left tackle. The guy is going to be blocking Caleb Williams' blind side. We did get some insight into the brain trust's philosophy when it comes to building a roster and how deep it needs to be. This was Ryan Poles when talking about where this roster is at right now heading into the draft.
You're looking at it multiple ways. One, it's like short-term, long-term thinking. Two, it's, you know, there's the certain positions, like the premium ones, where, you know, it's not guaranteed you're going to be a spot to get one of those players. So if we end up with a surplus, then let's just figure it out after that and compete, and the best guy wins. And if someone's got a young guy's got to wait, then he has to wait. Or, you know, other things can happen where other, you know, the guys that are currently in those spots can get opportunities for other teams. So there's a lot of different options that can pop up. But we're kind of weighing all of those things and put it into the equation of how we're going to handle the, you know, really all the picks, but 10 especially.
I don't think this will happen, but when he says if a young guy has to wait, then he'll wait, I don't think that we're going to see them draft somebody, certainly not in the first round, who's just going to basically redshirt for their first. I mean, you don't see that other than with quarterbacks, but I got to believe that whoever it is that they draft in the first round, whether it's a tackle that falls to him or a running back, whatever the case might be, I got to believe that whoever they draft in the first round is going to play starter-like snaps, is going to get a starter-like workload. He might not be the full-time, whatever position it is that he plays, but whoever they draft at number 10 has to get starter-like snaps. Can't just be on the sideline watching and learning. Like, that's not going to happen, right?
You can't go draft Joe Tooney's backup in the first round,
no,
right?
Exactly. No, you can't.
And even if you think he's going to be a starter in a couple of years, man, you know, if everything goes right, the Bears shouldn't be picking 10 again, right? So you got to take advantage of it.
And listening to Ben Johnson tell it, I think he's looking at this kind of the same way that I'm looking at this in terms of what this draft needs to produce and how much we'll see him out there on the field.
That's how you want to construct the roster from all your skill positions. Is you don't want 5'6", 4 guys necessarily in the receiver room. You want more of a basketball team where you got the point guard, you got the power forward, you have a wealth of different skill sets that you can look to call upon wherever you're at in the field or with whatever situation arises.
So he's looking at it as multiplicity or versatility at these different positions. It sounds like he's saying, yeah, we need to get guys with different skill sets and get them all involved, get them all the football. And he was talking specifically about offense and skill position.
I think he
players.
Was even referencing, I think it was signing David Montgomery and then drafting
That's
Jahmir
right.
Gibbs.
That's
so,
right,
like,
yeah.
A perfect example, kind of similar to what the Bears are looking at right now.
So do the Bears need to get a starter at number 10? I say yes, and you can get into the semantics of what is actually a starter. I'm talking about a guy who comes in and plays starter snaps, a guy who comes in and has impact, or at least they expect him and are going to attempt for him to have impact in his rookie year, and not just come in and sort of watch a redshirt or learn for their first year. They need somebody who's going to come in and have a starter-like presence and impact, at least the way I look at it. This is not a roster so good where you just go, whatever we get at 10, whether we see him this year or not, maybe we're just getting guys that are gonna, we'll see in the future after so-and-so outlives this contract or retires or whatever. This ain't Kansas City. We can't do that. That's not what we're doing here. Do the Bears need to get a starter at number 10? 312-644-6767. It's just you and me the entire first hour of the show. If you want to get in on the show, give me a call or shoot me a text. Also, we'll hear from Coby White coming up at 6:45, your Eastern Conference Player of the Month for March. We'll hear from him at 6:45. We'll hear from you right after this on The Score Evening Show.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We're back, live with more Rami McLaugh on 670 The Score, in Odyssey Station.
That's me with you.
Watching what Ben Johnson did at Detroit the last couple of years. They're going to be up under center a lot. They're going to be running the ball a lot. They're going to be play action pass. And then, obviously, when they have to drop back in the gun and throw it, they will. But that's right in my – that offensive style is right in my wheelhouse. And so I'm excited. I really think that and this gives your defense a better chance to win. And if we can run the ball, God, they're talking about the Ashton Gentry kid from Boise. Take him. I mean, if he's that type of player,
at 10?
Take him.
Would you do it at 10?
I'd do it. Why not?
There's Coach Wanstead on the afternoon show with Spiegel and Holmes talking about taking Ashton Gentry. False start there on my part, by the way. Sean Sears got me with the hard count. I should have known, though. We're on the same team. I got to know the hard count is coming, not jump. You know what I mean? That's my fault. We're talking Bears with you right now at 312-644-6767, asking, do the Bears need to get a starter at number 10? The guys over at The Athletic saying they don't necessarily need to, and I'm saying they need to get at least somebody who's making starter-like contributions. I you could get a starter at left tackle, possibly, in the first round. I don't think there are any cornerbacks that you would use the number 10 pick on, but I wouldn't mind getting a starting corner in this draft to replace a Tyreek Stevenson. And if it's not at one of those two positions, you get a, in air quotes, starter at running back, a starter at tight end, a starter who goes into the rotation as far as edge rushers and pass rushers. So I think you got to get one of those, I think, at number 10, because this is a team that lost 12 games last year. Like, we just think three guards and two okay defensive linemen fixed this whole thing, and Ben Johnson's going to work enough magic to take it from 12 losses to 12 wins just on that?
I mean, we thought Keenan Allen was going to save us last year, right?
That is true. Yeah, we've been dumber.
This one, I feel better about this one, though.
Me too. But I felt better about last year.
We were saying the same thing. We were fully in.
Exactly. It's just me and you right now, 312-644-6767. Someone asked in the text line during the break, what do I mean when I say the producer is on the ones and twos? That's like an old... like an old hip-hop thing, a DJ. They have a turntable one and a turntable two, and he's over there controlling all the sounds. So it's like a funny thing I say. Let's go to the phones at 312-644-6767 to the south side. And Al, you're on The Score. What's up, Al?
Hey, man. I'm just
I'm chilling. I'm sitting in traffic practicing my patience. It's just like me leaving Arlington Heights back home after a Bears loss. So I'm just getting my practice in traffic. But, yeah, man, I hear what you're saying. And I think I kind of agree with you, but at the same, I think you're kind of saying the same thing the article is saying, though, right? Because, yes, theoretically, we want a starter coming out of 10. We do want someone at the position of 10 to come in and contribute. But I think that they're using it in the sense that, just say if we did draft Jenty, to be honest, I don't think he's going to start day one. I think we'll still start with Swift, but they'll be, you know, I think they'll tick-tock off each other, right? So it does go into your point of, you know, having starter-like minutes. But I'm not going to lie either. We had a well-coached team to do bad things. They were coached well to do bad things. So I do think the record will improve, but I'm with you, you know what I'm saying, a little bit of the way. Yeah, let's get a starter. Let's get someone. But at tackle, I love it. Running back, I think we can pass, to be honest, but, you know, whatever. Like you said, I think it's too high to draft a corner, but the guy from Michigan, he's very solid, and if we got him at 10, I wouldn't be mad. Warren, I wouldn't be mad. So there's some picks at 10 that I would go with, but if not, if whoever we drive, I think they're going to have to come in and play significant minutes anyway. So, I mean, I think we're spot on right there anyway.
Yeah, they're going to have to come in. I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're getting your practice in to get stuck in traffic driving home from Bears games in Arlington. We all got to practice, right? Not just the team. We all got to be in game shape, even if game shape is sitting in traffic on your way home from a game in Arlington Heights. We all got to get ready. But, yeah, they need somebody to come in and play a starter-like role. At the very least, if it's not just day one, here's our left tackle, and he's going to start until further notice, or somebody who's going to come in and play, like I said, a starter-like role, whether it's a second tight end or a second running back, whatever the case might be, somebody needs to come in and contribute this year if the Bears are going to make a big leap from 5 wins last year to hopefully 9 or 10 this year. We'll get into that coming up at about 7 o'clock here on the show, just how many wins is enough wins and would signify progress. We'll get into that at 7 o'clock here on the Score Evening Show. There was some Bears news that broke in the last half hour or so. They went out and got themselves a quarterback. And no, not to play anything resembling a starter-like role. That's all Caleb Williams. That wasn't on my list of positions where they could add somebody who could be a starting-like player. No, they went and got Case Keenum. Longtime journeyman NFL backup. He'll be called upon to come over here and mentor Caleb Williams. And from our very own Chris Emma, he says a league source on Case Keenum's arrival to the Bears tells him he will be so good for Caleb Williams. That's a quote. He will be so good for Caleb Williams. I'm here for it, man. I felt like they needed a veteran in that room along with Caleb Williams. And I'll be honest, I know this isn't popular to say in these parts, I'm just not that big a Tyson Bagent guy. Is that okay? Is that okay, Bears fans? If I'm just not a big Tyson Bagent guy, because I'm not. Like, I don't think that guy is adding a whole lot to the QB room in terms of the learning and growing process, and I don't think he's going to go out there and win any football games for you either. So I'm glad they got somebody else in that room who adds something that they didn't already have. Is that okay, Sean? Can I not be a big Tyson Bagent guy? I feel like that's a crime.
Terrible. Take a lap.
No, I think that's fine. Okay. I think that's fine. And for the exact point you're saying, it's nice to have a veteran behind your own quarterback. Tyson Bagent seems great. You and I both know he should never start a game. So.
And his dad is a little much.
Stands a lot. Stands a lot. He beat David Hall in an arm wrestling match.
Oh, did he really? I didn't even hear about that. Is he just going? I saw him do it on the sidelines at the, what was that, the Senior Bowl last year?
Just taking anyone who would come
approach
him.
Just taking out media members on the arm wrestling table. I want nothing to do with that.
Well, it's even funnier, too, because wasn't Tyson like not even in the game at that point? Like, he was in the NFL, I think, at that point.
I think so, yeah. He's just making the rounds, you know. Got to make appearances, keep your profile up. I came across a different angle on the mock draft today, and it was from Bruce Feldman over at The Athletic. And what he did was he talked to people within the league. He talked to coaches, sources within the league, and got their thoughts on where people might go based on what they know about these teams, not just their needs and the things that we can all see from the outside, but talking to people within these teams and getting an idea for what they might do. I felt like that was a little bit different than what you see in most mock drafts. And I got to say, part of me likes what he has, how he has the board falling to the Bears. Part of me, not so much. If you heard me a few weeks ago or within the last few weeks here on The Score, they give me this microphone once or twice a week to talk into, and I always appreciate it. I'm in on Ashton Jeanty. And I honestly was a little bit there before they made all the moves on the offensive line. And once they did all that, I'm pretty fully in on Ashton Jeanty. And the way that this board falls, if Feldman is right and his sources within the league are right, that in terms of their what the thinking of the nine teams ahead of the Bears is and how they'll draft, you almost if this is how the board falls, they almost have to take Ashton Jeanty. Because listen to this. He has Cam Ward going 1 to Tennessee, Abdul Carter 2 to Cleveland, 3 Shedeur Sanders to the Giants, although Adam Schefter doesn't think that's the case. 4 the Patriots taking Travis Hunter. 5 the Jaguars will take Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. At 6, he has Jalen Walker, the edge from Georgia, going to Las Vegas. At 7, he has Armon Membo, the offensive lineman from Missouri, going to the Jets. At 8, he has Mikel Williams, the edge from Georgia, going to the Panthers. And then at 9, he has Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, going to the Saints. To me, there's if that's how the draft falls, because look, I'm all in on Ashton Jeanty, but would I understand and maybe even like the pick a little bit if they took a Will Campbell? Yeah, I just talked about the need for an upgrade at left tackle if you can find it. Mason Graham would be great. Sounds like he's a game wrecker from the interior defensive line position. Those are a couple guys that I'd have my eye on if they slipped to the Bears there. But after that, man, anybody who you might have your eye on has already been taken off the board at that point. Armon Membo is a guy that I've heard people taking, had people going to the Bears. The two edge rushers, other than Abdul Carter, who the Bears might be interested, they're gone on this particular mock draft. If this is how the board falls, it's Ashton Jeanty or it's Tyler Warren. And I don't think there are a lot of other options on the table. If this is how it goes, if it goes Ward, Carter, Sanders, Hunter, Graham, and then the two edge rushers and Will Campbell, you got to go with Ashton Jeanty at that point. Even if you're looking at this and you're going, well, deep class for running backs, blah, blah, blah. If you're looking to get a playmaker, and like I said, a guy who can come in and play a starter-like role at 10, if this is how the board falls, you go with Ashton Jeanty or Tyler Warren. Even if you don't think those are great positions of need or someplace where you need to get a starter right now, if this is how the board falls, you go with one of those two guys and you don't think twice about it.
That's how I would feel. Like, I love Jeanty too. That's how where I'm at. I'd love to see him taken there at 10. But in that situation, like, trading back, you're not going to get more value, right?
If all three of the edge rushers who people have, you know, in their top 20 grades or whatever, if all three of the edge rushers, the defensive tackle, and the interior defensive lineman Mason Graham,
right,
if all five of those guys are off the board, and Will Campbell and Membo, if all those guys are off the board at that point, you got to take Jeanty or Warren. And I would honestly, I'd be a little happy if that's how it felt.
I would be okay with either one of them, right? Like, that would be such a great, both of them with Ben Johnson, it's just enticing. But I mean, I've been fully on the Ashton Jeanty trip. I want to see that guy in the backfield so bad.
Now, if you think that's how the board is going to fall and you have your eyes set on one of those guys who I listed off, maybe trading up is a possibility. Chris Emma talked about that earlier today right here on The Score.
Poking around the league as I often try to do and see what's happening up at Halas Hall, what they're looking at. And I kind of got some insights into the idea that the Bears are indeed drawn perhaps to the idea of moving up in the top 10. And these are all scenarios. Like, I'd preface everything by saying these are all just scenarios and considerations at this point. But it makes sense. And here's why it makes sense. And I wrote about it on 670thescore.com. You can check out the full column if you want to catch it all later. But the premise of this idea is that this is not going to cost a significant haul to move up. This is not a considerably strong draft. And because of that, the cost of doing business is not what it usually is. So if the Bears want to move up, say, call it the four spot, the New England Patriots are sitting there at four, you're not going to have to give up a significant haul. You're talking about potentially dealing just one of your 2 second-round picks and making the move from 10 to 4. That puts you in a position to guarantee you're getting one of your blue-chip guys, where, frankly, the 10 spot's not a great spot in which to be with this draft. So it's something they're certainly considering. I think all teams are kind of looking at the board right now and saying, how can we jump up and make that move? And there's a lot of factors and plays and variables that will play out here in the next 3 weeks up until draft night. But away we go. It's going to be really interesting.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Not even a little bit, dude. And not only to get my guy in Ashton Jeanty, who, like I said, I have my sights set on, and I'd like to see the Bears take him in the first round. But I recognize, A, where the Bears have other needs, and B, where there are guys who are, I keep coming back to this, I'm not necessarily dead set on a position that I want the Bears to go and get somebody. I want them to go and get a game changer, a difference maker, a guy who steps on the field and in one snap can change the entire complexion or flip the momentum of a football game. And if they think Abdul Carter is that and can move up high enough to go and get an Abdul Carter, or they think a Mason Graham is that, or they think Will Campbell or Membu are the type of lockdown left tackles who you can just plug in there and not worry about Caleb Williams' backside for the next 7 to 10 years. If you're making a move for a guy like that to move up, I don't hate it, because that's a win now type of move. I like what it signifies as much as I like anything else, the thought of trading up, that you are trying to win now. And it goes back to the conversation that I started the show with, which is getting somebody who's going to come in here and have real impact in year one, or at least that you expect to have some real impact in year one. If you trade up, that's what you're trying to do. And it says to me, you're trying to win football games now. And this isn't about going and getting somebody who can help you in 2 or 3 years from now. You're going and getting, you're giving up assets to go and get somebody who can help you win now. And I love that statement from the Bears, if nothing else. Obviously, I'd like to see it work out. I'd like I'd like for it to look like a very smart move in hindsight, but I just like the statement and the mindset that signifies if you trade up into the top 5 or 6 picks to go and get somebody who you think is going to come in and change your team on day one. I'm here for it. I'm here for that type of aggressiveness and assertiveness from this Bears team in 2025, because I need wins, man. I need wins. We're going to talk about that a little more specifically coming up at 7 o'clock. Right after this, your Eastern Conference Player of the Month, Coby White, for the month of March. We'll hear from him. It's Rami Makhlouf on The Score Evening Show, and back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Topside three by LeBron. No. Rebound Herter. Bulls in transition, left to right. Here is Coby. Pull up left side three. Bam! Timeout Lakers. Coby White with a big time shot. He's got 19. 97-89 LA. 7:58 to play fourth.
He's so good. Coby and Chuck. Just both of them. So good. That was heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You're home for Bulls basketball, and they host the Blazers tomorrow at the United Center, 7 o'clock tip, 6:45 pregame, right here on The Score. And the guy who hit the shot, not the guy calling it, again, both of them very good at what they do, but the guy who hit the shot, Coby White, today named Eastern Conference Player of the Month for the month of March, and well-deserved. He averaged 27.7 points in 15 games in March, and he joins, dude. When I see stuff like this, I go, wow, that's cool. And then I go, oh, man, they've been bad for so long. He's the sixth Bulls player to earn that honor behind DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Scottie Pippen, and some guy named Michael Jordan. I don't know.
But it's a major award. I won it.
But DeMar DeRozan, somewhat recent, right? That was in that year where he had like the 30 or 40 game MVP like stretch where people were legitimately like, we have to talk about DeMar DeRozan in the MVP conversation. And I was like, everybody calm down. But other than that, you got to go back to Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose to find Eastern Conference Players of the Month. And I'll admit, And I'm still kind of there despite a couple of losses, including an absolute ass kicking at the hands of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Good Lord.
That was rough.
That was real, real rough. But I'm still enjoying this Bulls run, which I didn't think I would. And I want them to come out of the play-in. And like I didn't think I'd be there earlier in the season. And today I was reading David Pena's piece at The Ringer.
Yeah, Michael Pena.
Pena, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he says, and it's one of those things that you read and you go, damn, I didn't even realize that. They haven't won a playoff series in 12 years, dude.
Isn't that wild?
12 years since they've won a playoff series.
Not since Derrick Rose tore his ACL against the, was it the Sixers? And I think that's the last series they won.
And I think I'm just thirsty. I think when it comes to the Bulls and like any postseason involvement, I'm just thirsty. I'm just thirsty.
I take that back. They've won a couple series. But yeah, it's not since like Jimmy Butler, Nate Robinson. Like it's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Right? It's been a minute.
And it's crazy because they've had some good teams, but yeah, they just don't seem to do anything.
And the other thing about this that makes it fun to watch is Coby White, man. Like his game, he's a really fun dude to watch and to root for. And that was on display today when he joined the midday show with Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi and talked about what's changed in the last couple of months since the Zach LaVine trade that's skyrocketed him to, again, player of the month in the month of March. And you can really see his confidence growing out there on the court the more that he goes along on this thing. And Layla asked him about where is that confidence coming from? How's it growing so much?
Confidence level is at a really good level right now. I think for me, it's just what has helped me a lot. Like, I always give my teammates the credit, but like just the feel, the vibe we have with the team, our level of connectedness has really like, you know, helped me. It's kind of, you know, reminded me of like early on days of playing basketball with like in like high school and in college, that type of atmosphere with the guys. And like I said, everybody's super close and like we continue to instill confidence in each other. And that's the main thing. I think each and every one of us instill confidence in each other to go out there and be ourselves. And that has helped me a lot. Just, you know, everyone continue to push me, you know, guys on the team continue to talk to me at the games about, you know, I need to be more aggressive or I need to do this. And honestly, that's what really has helped me a lot. Like I said, like I think when Trey came over here from San Antonio after the trade, I remember we had beat Toronto. It was a game we had beat Toronto where we had the comeback in the fourth quarter. And he texted me after the game. It was kind of like, good game, good job tonight, but you need to shoot more. You need to be more aggressive. We need you to be more aggressive. And Taylen also told me the same thing like two games later. And I think, you know, when your coaching staff and the people around you tell you need to be more aggressive, like it's cool, but like whenever your peers and your teammates all give you that like leeway, like we need you to be aggressive, we need you to, you know, hunt more shots, that kind of went a long way with me and it kind of changed my mindset on, you know, the season and what my team needs from me. So those moments helped me a lot.
We are happy to be talking to Coby White, the Eastern Conference Player of the Month here on The Score. And Coby, I think that's great because you always struck me as somebody who's really self-aware. Like, you want to make sure everybody has opportunities. That's part of your personality. That's part of how you facilitate. So was that a big change for you to tell yourself, I need to be this guy more. I need to be more ball dominant or, like, shoot more when you're hearing guys like Trey say that to you, for example?
Yeah, because I think the mindset I had was more so like, you know, like you said, like, I'm trying to make sure everybody has the opportunity. Everybody has that equal opportunity. Everybody, you know, and things like that. So it was different for me at first. And then I knew I started to have to change my mindset whenever Zach left, but it was different for me at first. But those guys kind of helped me realize, like, all right, this is real. And this is how I need to transform my mental in order, you know, for us to continue to help, for me to help my team win games. So, and then after that it kind of flipped to my mentality to be more aggressive and, you know, hunt for more opportunities within the offense. And then that came with breaking down, like sitting with our player development staff, sitting with Coach Dan Craig, and it came down to sitting like, all right, what are ways I can get myself easy baskets? Like, how can I get to the free throw line more? How can I get out and transition more? What, you know, how are other teams, you know, how have they been guarding in the past five games? What do I need to look for? going against this team, like certain things like that. So it kind of broke down to where I could have more opportunities to get myself easy baskets and baskets to hunt more shots. So it's been good, though. You know what I'm saying? So
I love that, man. I love that it's coming from his teammates, that they're telling him to go out there and be more aggressive. Because, and Layla touched on it in the follow-up question, I feel like it's not just his game. I think it's part of his personality and who he is. He's kind of a people pleaser, and he wants everyone around him to feel good and happy, and when it comes to basketball, feel involved when you're out there. And it's one thing for a coach to say, hey man, we need you to go out there and be more aggressive. You still go out there and you might throw up a shot and feel like your teammates are staring daggers through you behind your back. You know what I mean? For him to know that he can go out there on the court and really let it loose, and not only are his teammates okay with it, but that's precisely what they want. That's what they're asking for. That goes a long, long way, man. And a guy just letting it fly and not thinking too much about it and sort of playing kind of free in that role. And beyond just, I think, his personality and trying to be a people pleaser and keep people involved, this is a guy who's been a point guard for much of his career. And he's probably had coaches going back to his high school days telling him how he needs to create and for other people and distribute and everything else. And I'm sure he's been in the scorer's role before too, but especially since he's gotten into the NBA, he's been a point guard a lot of the time, been asked to be kind of that facilitator. And you do kind of, you need that encouragement to flip that switch and be that guy. I thought the other interesting thing was Marshall asked him, what was your favorite moment of the season and why was it dunking over Victor Wembanyama? Here was his answer.
What's your favorite moment of the season and why is it you dunking all over Victor Wembanyama?
Yes! Yes!
I wouldn't even say that's my, I think that was a good moment for me, but I think my favorite moment probably right now got to be that Lakers game. Because I think, like, I after the game, I sat back and I realized that each and every one of us that was on that court played a part and hit a big shot. Like, Vooch hit a big three, then Kev hit a big three, then Pat hit a big three, then I hit a big three, then obviously Josh hit the half-court shot. So I think that was – and then, like, it's just always fun. Like, you know, even though – you know how games go. Like, people think it's over, so you see people walking to the exits, they're leaving –
uh-huh.
So we're looking in the crowd, people are leaving, and then, like, for us to, like, flip the script and each and every one of us have a big moment in that situation was dope for me. And I think that was my favorite part, just because everybody played a role in it.
Have you ever been part of something like that, like an ending like that?
No. No, I think I always tell people the closest thing was my rookie year in Charlotte when Zach hit 13 threes. That game was crazy, but, like, this game was nuts. Like, I think, like I said, the win probability was like 99.2% that we would lose the game. So for me, that was probably the craziest game I've ever been a part of.
You look like you blacked out on the dunk. That's why I asked it. That's why I asked it the way I did.
Oh, I did black out. Oh no, I definitely blacked out. Because after the game, I think I was talking to Pat and I was like, man, like, I'm looking at their video afterwards, and I'm yelling and stuff, and I'm like, I feel like I just got out of character, man. I ain't really like that.
That goes back to what I was saying before about the type of dude that Kobe is. First of all, he doesn't want to get out of character and show too much fire after dunking over Victor Wembanyama. But they ask him about his favorite moment, and Marshall even, like, serves it up to him, like this individual highlight moment that you had, and that must have been your favorite. He immediately goes to a team thing. You know what I mean? And that win over the Lakers was awesome, dude. It was amazing, and everything that had to happen for that. So I get why that's his favorite moment. But dude, you posterized Victor Wembanyama. Like,
va faire lever peut-être Marcel Cerdan, le double pump en châssis une fois. Wembanyama! Pam pam pam! Yay yay yay!
Exactly what he said. But you posterized Victor Wembanyama. It would be totally understandable that would be your favorite moment of the year. If I dunked over Victor Wembanyama, you would never hear the end. If I dunked at all. You would never hear the end of it. You know what I mean? To dunk over Victor Wembanyama and emphatically and posterize him the way that he did. But no, man, he went back to the team and what Giddey did and Patrick Williams hitting the three. That's the dude that he is, and that goes back to the first clip that you heard where it kind of, I think it took his teammates telling him that he needed to take that next level in terms of his aggressiveness and his assertiveness out there on the court. If you want to hear the full Coby White interview on the Midday Show today, check out 670score.com or use that handy dandy and totally free Odyssey app. Just click on that rewind feature and go back and listen to anything you want on these airwaves. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, what will constitute progress for the Chicago Bears in 2025? We will discuss right after this on the Score Evening Show.